Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
President Donald Trump has agreed to hold off imposing 25% tariffs on Canada and Mexico for 30 days, pulling the North American neighbours back from the brink of a potentially damaging trade war. China, on the other hand, has retaliated to new US duties on Chinese goods by slapping their own tariffs on US imports. Well, there are fears now that President Trump has his sights on the EU, having previously said tariffs will definitely happen. I'm joined now by John Eyle, Deputy Business Editor with the Sunday Times, and Olaf Gill, who's a spokesperson for the EU on trade and financial services. And Olaf, to you first. We know that Donald Trump, as I said, has pulled back from the brink of the full-scale trade war so far, but he has said that he's going to impose tariffs on EU goods. The rumour is it'll be up to 10%. How do you expect the EU to respond?
Morning, Claire, and thanks for having me on. So what I can say about this is that the Commission, on behalf of the European Union, has been preparing throughout 2024 for precisely this possibility. We had a dedicated task force in place within the Commission to prepare for all possible outcomes of the US presidential elections, including the one that transpired. So our goal here is to try to engage with the new administration in a positive, constructive way in the first instance. And President von der Leyen made that very clear yesterday at the summit of EU leaders. She said that we would be very pragmatic, engage early, discuss and negotiate if necessary. But she also made it very clear that if necessary, we will protect our legitimate interests, and we have a range of options in place should that become necessary.
Well, we saw what Mexico and Canada did. I mean, they conceded, or at least they appeared to concede on matters around immigration and the drugs cartel. So do we have something up our sleeve that we can offer to Trump to stave him off?
Well, first of all, it's really important to say that the EU regrets the decision by the US administration to impose these tariffs on Canada, Mexico and China. We think these type of across-the-board tariffs raise business costs, harm workers and consumers. They're basically hurtful to all sides and kind of put us into a lose-lose cycle, whereas we should be focused on a win-win. But to answer your question, yes, we have a range of options, and should we need them, we have trade defence tools in place.
Like what?
Well, just to give you one example, and I really want to preface this by saying that our intention is not to use any of these trade defence tools unless absolutely necessary. But for example, if an EU industry or an EU member state is targeted in an unfair, economically coercive way, we created a tool called the Anti-Coercion Instrument, which is essentially kind of a big bazooka that we have on the table. We want it to be there so that to prevent any sort of measures in the first instance and open dialogue if necessary. But it also gives us the options to impose appropriate and targeted countermeasures should they be required.
So tariffs?
Yes, that would be the classical way to do it, yeah.
Okay, so we would meet like for like. I mean, China went over and above what Donald Trump has done so far with the 15%. Is the EU plan to meet him if he goes at 10%, that the EU would go back with the same?
The EU plan, as I mentioned, is to engage in a positive, constructive way to try to find deals, to try to find a way that we can create win-win outcomes rather than lose-lose. Mm-hmm. But in the worst case scenario, then yes, we will look at all the options on the table.
Now, we're really concerned about this here in Ireland because we sell more into the US than we buy in return. And we are very firmly, it would seem, in his sights, aren't we?
I mean, I have to, you know, look at the overall EU picture here. But I mean, certainly, of course, Ireland as an exporting economy would be concerned. I mean, it does seem like the approach taken by the government to really put in place a kind of a structured way to engage our people on the ground in Washington to be prepared for all outcomes mirrors what we're doing here at the Commission level. And I think that's a sensible approach. But on the, you know, trade issue, I mean, it's very important that we engage on the basis of reality here. President Trump often mentions that the US has a $350 billion trade deficit with the EU. This is simply not true. In reality, our economies complement each other quite well. The EU has a surplus in goods trade, whereas the US has a surplus in services trade. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we will certainly be putting forward that reality in our engagement with the new administration too.
And tell me, does the EU Commission have any issue with one of its member states acting unilaterally? You mentioned there the sort of charm offensive that we expect Ireland to engage in. Is the Commission supportive of that, or do you want the EU to act as a whole and together on every issue and in every way?
Well, from what I understand of the Irish approach, there's no discrepancy there. I mean, the EU member states must do what they need to do to protect their legitimate interests. But certainly when it comes to trade policy, which is an EU competence, so the Commission acts on behalf of all the member states at the request of the member states, we're much more effective when we act cohesively.
Olaf, thank you for joining us. Olaf Gill there, spokesperson for the EU on trade and financial services. Listening to that is John Isle from the Sunday Times. So the big bazooka, John, is being held in reserve. Do you feel that what the EU is planning will be enough to ward Trump away?
Well, it sounds very similar to the way that Canada and Mexico behaved over the weekend. What we're seeing here is Donald Trump tried to sort of leverage the good trade relationships that his trade partners want to maintain with the United States against them to achieve some kind of a concession. You used the word appearance of a win. You used the phrase appearance of a win earlier. And I would say it is exactly that, that what Donald Trump appears to be trying to do is extract a victory that really is a rebranding of the status quo. Nothing much has changed in the trade relationship between the United States and Canada and Mexico. And I would imagine that the EU is seeking a similar outcome where they can make an announcement of a policy that's already in progress or a small, low-cost kind of concession that Donald Trump can then take to his constituents and say, look, I use these tariffs and I extracted these benefits for the United States consumer, and now we're all going to be, you know, happily going on our way with trade from here on.
We still are, though, aren't we? And we are the ones who are very firmly, or will be once Donald Trump goes through the numbers on this, in his sights because of our trade surplus, Ireland's trade surplus, which is to Ireland's advantage with the United States.
Yes, it is true that Ireland sticks out like a sore thumb. But it's also important to stay grounded in reality, as your previous commenter said. So the reality is, yes, there is a large trade surplus, but that doesn't mean that the United States is somehow disadvantaged from that, right? They have the advantage of buying goods and services from Ireland, or American companies get a certain advantage in terms of their profit and tax, which redounds to the benefit of shareholders in the United States as well. So there's a lot of complexity in these relationships that Donald Trump tends to overlook, at least when he's making public statements about them. I do think, however, that Ireland has to act nimbly, because what we've seen with Trump, and he was explicit about using tariffs in this way, is that he doesn't necessarily have an economic objective in mind, but also often has another policy objective. So he was leveraging tariffs against Canada and Mexico to stop the flow of fentanyl, right? Well, whether or not that happens is a different question, but that was the stated objective, was to get more cooperation from the neighbors on stopping fentanyl coming into the United States. With Ireland, there could be other foreign policy objectives that he wishes to leverage, you know, use tariffs to leverage against us to get Ireland on side with the United States in other foreign policy areas. Mm-hmm. So, you know, just guessing what those are is hard until he makes his statement and, you know, kind of opens up the books and says, this is what I want and these are the changes I'm looking for and what can you give me in return? The evidence from his first term, when he pursued a very similar set of policies on tariffs, is that, you know, the EU and Canada and Mexico were able mostly to navigate those negotiations successfully. Ireland, in fact, saw a huge run-up in its corporation tax receipts during the first Trump term. So the outcomes won't always be bad for Ireland or necessarily bad for America's trade partners.
Yeah, I mean, it's, as you say, it's hard to know what can be offered to him by the EU to settle him and take him back from the line on tariffs. But the impact of him introducing tariffs on the goods that Ireland sends over and sells to the United States would be huge, because, you know, there's a huge chunk of pharmaceuticals there. And we saw when he threatened to introduce these tariffs on Canada and Mexico that people within his own party said, what about the farmers who are importing their animal feed? And they were extremely concerned. That's going to happen in the case of pharmaceuticals, too.
For sure. And he might, again, as we said earlier, he might look at the huge exports that come from Irish-based pharma companies back to the United States and say, well, why isn't that manufactured in the U.S.? But let's not forget who those pharma companies are. They're often U.S. pharma companies. And when it comes to tech services Those are also American companies. And those are people who have the ear of President Trump as well. So just as the farming lobby is quite influential within the Republican Party, so apparently is the tech lobby. And we've seen a lot of evidence of that so far. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, the tech sector will necessarily bail out Ireland and make everything easy for us. I'm just saying that there's more at stake than just a trade balance. There's a lot of profit that flows back to the United States from companies that are based here in Ireland. And it goes into the 401k pension plans of Americans. It goes into basic profits, et cetera. Now, he has said that he wants to, you know, reshore a lot of manufacturing, and maybe he does have his eye on pharmaceutical products in that sense. But there's a reason that they're located here. It's a benefit for the companies, and many of those companies are American themselves.
John, thank you for joining us. John Isle there from the Sunday Times, and we heard from Olaf Gill from the EU just before that. Now, later on in the programme, we will have the CEO of the ESB with us, and I'm aware that there are thousands of people who are still without power, well over a week since we had the big storm. We'd like to hear from you this morning. You can WhatsApp us if you're connected to 0870 32 32 32 and let us know what has been happening and how you've been getting through the last number of days and over the last week. And Paddy Hayes, who's CEO of the ESB, will be with us a little later in the programme. Back after this quick break.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.